From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Thursday, October 2nd. I'm Abby Larico. U.S. farmers plant millions of acres of corn every year. In the Midwest, the fields of tall stalks are part of the late summer landscape. Now, some in America's heartland are experimenting with new, shorter varieties.
There's a lot of optimism, a lot of excitement, and we can't wait to get it in growers' hands so they can see what they think of it.
St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke with how and why corn may soon be getting shorter. That's coming up after this news on The Gateway. The government shutdown means the Gateway Arch and the old courthouse downtown are temporarily closed. The federal sites began turning away visitors Wednesday after federal lawmakers failed to reach a funding deal. Some areas and attractions around the arch will remain open, including the riverboats and helicopter tours. That's because those are operated by Bi-State Development and are not part of the National Park Service. The arch and old courthouse also closed during previous government shutdowns in 2013, 2018, and 2019. More than 25,000 federal workers are based in the St. Louis metro area, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of St. Louis. The National Geospatial Intelligence Agency posted on its website that all NGA facilities are closed to non-accepted employees. TSA and airport workers are still called to work, just without pay, until Congress passes a budget. The teachers' union that represents more than 2,000 staffers in St. Louis public schools rallied against proposed school closures during a summit last night. STLPR's Hiba Ahmed has the details.
The American Federation of Teachers Local 420 says it would like to see the district reopen neighborhood schools, but there was minimal discussion about how the district would pay for these schools, and that's important given the district's projected budget shortfall, says SLPS elementary teacher Tracy Duncan.
I do believe that some schools probably need to close just given the dire financials, but I feel like maybe too many have been proposed. But the impact on the community seems enormous.
SLPS will hold its own community events later this month around a proposal to close over half of its schools because of declining enrollment. I'm Hiba Ahmed, St. Louis Public Radio.
A custodian in the Francis Howell School District was arrested after an investigation found they had written racist and violent graffiti in one of the school's bathrooms. In an email to families, Interim Superintendent Mark Delaney said the custodian was immediately placed on leave and later arrested by the St. Charles County Police Department. The graffiti contained racial slurs and sexually violent language directed at Black Americans. It was discovered by a student last week. The St. Charles County chapter of the NAACP and a progressive political action committee in the district condemned the incident and called on the district to do more. Delaney said Francis Howell Schools will not tolerate any instances of racism, hate, or violence. Washington University in St. Louis is cutting more than 300 jobs. As St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Fenton reports, the head of the school says it is under increased financial pressure.
Chancellor Andrew Martin says the university is eliminating 316 staff positions and closing 198 vacant ones, resulting in an estimated $52 million in yearly savings. WashU did not say who's losing their jobs, only that the cuts are spread over the medical and main campuses and non-academic offices. Martin says some cuts result from losses of grant funding. Other jobs are redundant and no longer needed. Martin also referred to, quote, emerging technologies and evolving student needs. According to WashU, the school employs more than 22,000 people. University officials earlier this year announced the school would not give out merit-based raises, citing uncertainty over federal funding. It also paused construction projects on campus. I'm Sarah Fenton, St. Louis Public Radio.
More than 3,200 striking St. Louis Boeing workers say they've seen no progress in negotiations in their ninth week on the picket line. Union and labor leaders joined workers in a rally yesterday. St. Louis Public Radio's Olivia Mizell was there.
Hundreds of striking Boeing workers gathered in Hazelwood for a rally and speeches from several union leaders. Machinist union official Jody Bennett says the company made no changes to the offer the union membership previously rejected during Monday's negotiation meeting.
We had provided them a pre-ratified offer that guaranteed what would put these people back to work. They said they weren't interested in that and again came back with the same offer that had previously been rejected. So at that point, the talks are over.
The company rejected a union proposed offer that 90% of members approved. After Monday's failed talks, the union submitted a modified offer through a federal mediator, which the company criticized. I'm Olivia Mizell, St. Louis Public Radio.
You'll soon be able to hop on a plane from St. Louis straight to London. British Airways announced plans for nonstop flights from St. Louis Lambert International Airport to London Heathrow. Flights start in April and will operate seasonally 4 days a week through late October. Regional officials and business leaders say the flights will boost the local economy. Brad Dean is CEO and president of Explore St. Louis. He says the new flights come at a perfect time when the region will host an international robotics competition and Kansas City will host several FIFA World Cup matches.
While I realize that we're not a FIFA host site, think about the 6 million plus visitors coming to the U.S. to see the World Cup. You got to do something between the matches.
Airport officials say the partnership could bring between $50 and $100 million annually. The small town of Madison has sold its wastewater system to Illinois American Water for $3 million. Madison is the latest Metro East community to sell to the private company, which has added 85,000 customers since 2013. The Illinois Commerce Commission approved the sale last month. American Water says it has more than $9 million in upgrades planned for Madison's wastewater system over the next 5 years. The publicly traded company has drawn criticism from some community members for passing the costs of improvements to customers. Madison's sale comes at a time when many municipal governments have struggled to afford maintaining drinking and wastewater systems. Leaders of the Sheldon Concert Hall and Galleries celebrated the reopening of the Grand Center venue. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin was there for the reveal of the $11 million renovation.
And with that, Sheldon Board Chair Cheryl D. Walker cut a ceremonial red ribbon, and an invited crowd of supporters got their first look at updates to the building. They include an illuminated marquee and amenities like new bathrooms. Walker says the Sheldon is a jewel that got some much-needed polishing.
Now that we have regenerated and renovated the space, it's going to be even more grand than it was. And it is our intention to serve community far into the future.
A sold-out concert Wednesday is the first at the Sheldon since May, and the first exhibition in the newly updated galleries opens in November. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Listener support is St. Louis Public Radio's largest source of revenue and makes podcasts like The Gateway possible. Show your support for regional news by making a gift at stlpr.org, and thanks.
Change may be on the horizon for the Midwest's most iconic crop. And that change may mean the horizon could be getting lower. The U.S. produces more than a third of the world's corn, and most of that grain comes from a swath of the central U.S. called the Corn Belt. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports some Midwestern farmers are planting a new, shorter variety of corn that might be an improvement over what's in fields now.
Farmer Chad Moore's seed dealer was looking for people to try out a new product, short corn, from the agriculture company Bayer.
I had never heard of it before, and I've always been kind of looking to do things a little bit different, try things out on the farm year after year.
Moore is a third-generation farmer who grows corn and soybeans on about 1,800 acres in central Illinois. Now he's in his second year growing Bayer's short-stature corn, called Precion. The corn doesn't look too different from the road. It's only about 3 or 4 feet shorter than typical corn. But when you walk into the field, you can really tell the difference.
this here is the shorter corn, the Pression corn. If you just look down through the row, you can kind of see how thick and dense the leaves are.
The big change here is that short corn can be planted densely without affecting its health. Moore can plant about 20% more short corn per acre.
So you've got a denser population, more ears, a lot more plant matter out here.
More corn plants per acre translates to the number one thing many farmers care about.
Whether the corn's short or tall, I want to make sure I got the yield out there, and that's the main goal of anything.
It's early days, but there's a lot of hype around short stature corn in the Midwest right now, or at least as much hype as you can get among stoic Midwestern agriculturalists. Besides Bayer, several other seed companies are also selling or developing shorter corn hybrids. One is Corteva Agrisciences. The company will start selling its own variety of short corn in the next few years. Farmers are really curious about it, says Corteva's Vice President of Biotechnology, Wendy Cernich.
There's a lot of optimism, a lot of excitement, and we can't wait to get it in growers' hands so they can see what they think of it.
On top of increased yield, Cernich says the shorter corn is less likely to get knocked over in strong wind storms. Shorter plants come with another benefit. They're much easier to treat with things like fertilizer or fungicides.
With tall corn, you kind of hit a window where you can't get into the canopy. You can't get into the field.
When the corn is shorter, farmers can treat their fields without having to spray from an airplane. These are all big improvements. But shorter corn is a small change in the grand history of this plant, says Iowa State University professor Pat Schnabel.
The humans that domesticated that crop changed it enormously over about a 5,000-year period or so.
Now technology is making all kinds of other things possible. Schnabel is using a computer program to dream up designer corn varieties.
What's the optimal number of leaves? What's the optimal width of the leaves? And then we can breed towards that.
Schnabel says it's too early to know if farmers will start widely growing short corn. But shorter stalks may be the next chapter in the long story of humans' relationship with this crop. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Our theme music is by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur, but this? It's corn! The viral hit inspired by the 8-year-old corn enthusiast featured on the series Recess Therapy. From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, I'm Abby Larico. Thanks for listening to The Gateway. Have a corn-tastic day. Has the juice.